Well, today, the NHS is inviting staff and patients to have their say on the health service. They want you to submit a pledge, one single thing you would do to improve the care they offer. Medical staff across Cambridgeshire will also be making pledges, and we'll hear some of those a little bit later on. The idea is to motivate and inspire staff from the bottom up to make both big and small changes in the way they work. So, suggestions, please. I'm delighted to say I'm joined now by somebody who has been experiencing the NHS in a way she didn't see coming this over the last few months. Amita Vaux from Cambridge has joined me in the studio. Amita, good morning to you.
Morning.
So just tell us your story then, because your life changed dramatically in the space of a few months, didn't it?
Yeah, in September last year, I was diagnosed with 2 6-centimetre tumours in my breast. It developed very quickly over one summer, and within a week I was on the most toxic chemo regime you can have. And I had a double mastectomy last month. I'm only 33. And the part of the reason why, you know, it raised some questions among doctors why I was so young and why it was in both breasts is that they wondered whether I would have this the BRCA1 genetic mutation. So months later, it was confirmed that yeah, I had that, and then a couple of months after that my sister also had it, and that also increases your risk of ovarian cancer to around 50%. So suddenly, I was sort of having to deal with the possibility of a very high risk of another cancer as well as the breast cancer I was dealing with.
And if anybody's heard of BRCA1, it is the strain that Angelina Jolie had, isn't it?
Yes.
And what is different about it? What is particularly virulent about it?
Yeah, I mean, we all have genes in our bodies that control tumour growth. So we all likely have cancer cells at any one time, but most people have a way of controlling those from becoming a tumour and becoming harmful. Whereas if you have damage to that gene, which people with this mutation do, you can't control the growth of the cancer. So it grows very quickly, very aggressively, which is what happened to me. You know, it was never a lump like people look for, like you're told to look for. It was
sure.
A sort of just a mass.
Yeah. Now, obviously, we are told that these sort of genes are inherited, and your sister, you say, has had treatment as well. Do you know if it had existed in your family early, your mother or grandmother?
No. Yeah, good question. I mean, we'd always joked that everyone on my dad's family died of cancer and my mum's family dies of heart attacks, but we'd never thought there was a gene. So when we started, I mean, the first session you have when they think you may have the gene is a session with the genetics counsellor, and you map your family tree. And looking, when we'd put it on paper, we sort of, it suddenly all became quite sinister and you know, it looked like something really was wrong, because a lot of people had died from breast or ovarian cancer. It doesn't affect men so much. It's very, very slight high percentage breast cancer in men. But really, it's the danger for women. So when we saw that on paper, we knew it was going to be a positive result. And then, you know, it takes a couple of months to get your gene tested, and it was positive.
And was your sister showing any signs of of a cancer?
But no, she doesn't have cancer. I mean, she's younger than me.
But she's got the gene.
But she's got the gene, which means she has to be very vigilant. And she's actually having a preventative mastectomy in a few months' time. So the same as what Angelina Jolie had, which is, you know, no cancer, but you're having pretty barbaric treatment and surgery to prevent a cancer that you may never get, but you just don't want to live with that risk.
We'll talk about your treatment and your experience with the NHS in a moment or two. But as you say, you're only 33, lot of life to lead, no doubt had plans for the rest of your life. When you get told something like this, how do you cope with it?
Yeah, I mean, I think, to be honest, the shock is only just disappearing. I think, you know, for months and months I've been living in shock. It's just strange and surreal. But at the same time, it's as though the windscreen has cleared for me. I see, you know, it's just, I guess I'm living life and living each day in a very different way to what I did before. And I'm hoping, you know, to sort of keep that feeling with me. I was actually kind of given an all clear last week, as much as all clear as you ever get, but it was brilliant news that I'd reacted so well. But it does sort of open your eyes, and also children, you know, it's pretty, it's looking, I mean, I certainly won't have conceived naturally because of ovarian surgery I've had to prevent ovarian cancer now. But if I did, it'd be through IVF and, you know,
I was going to ask you about that. The fact that you had an ovary and one fallopian tube removed, you are still very young in childbearing terms. Therefore, you know, you can still hope, but it won't be as normal, if you like, in inverted commas.
No, well, it's something I've kind of parked a little bit because I've got so much other stuff to think about, and I'm single, and you know, so it would be something down the line, but it's, I need to start thinking about IVF. Yeah. And
well, look, we'll talk about the treatment with the NHS and how they coped in a moment or two.